Morning Lifers, I know you're probably thinking, I thought he was going on sabbatical, and he keeps showing up. Well, this is the last video that I'm sending. I wanted to do those missions videos last month, and this one was important to me as well. Today starts a new series, and that will last from now until I return on Sunday, December the 10th. And we've been talking about going deeper. This year, going deeper means to become whole, and that's been our journey. And so I was thinking about the epistles and how Paul writes them, and many times he'll have a main message, like ours has been, go deeper, be whole. He has a main message, but then at the end of his letters, he often realizes that he's got a bunch of other things to say, and he kind of bullet points them. For instance, I read at the end of 1 Thessalonians, and you get to this point, this part, after he's really laid out a lot about the second coming and future things, and he says, finally, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, do not put out the Spirit's fire, do not treat prophecies with contempt, test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. Paul does that a lot. He does it in Romans. He does it in Philippians. He does it so many places where he just says, okay, now we're kind of going to the end. So, and he lays out all these things. I started thinking, what if God were to write Abundant Life, a letter like Paul's epistles, and his main theme has been go deeper, be whole. And what would happen if he got to the end? And then said, okay, we've got just a few more things to say. These are the things that are really important. That's what this series is about, the next 10 weeks. You're going to hear from some of our own pastors. You're going to hear from some guests. But the point is, these are the last things you need to know to go deeper and be whole. And I hope you'll really dig in here and that you'll listen. You'll learn, you'll pray over these messages, and that you will just become that transformed whole person that Christ has designed us to be. So enjoy this series. I know you will, and I know it will be delivered well by these great preachers, and I look forward to being back with you on December 10th and seeing just how you've grown. And how you've gone deeper. So love you all very much. Miss you. And just enjoy what God's going to talk to you about.
All right. Well, we're going to start off a little different this morning. We're going to start off by playing a game. And this is a game that you should be an expert at because it's all about you. All you have to do is describe who you are using I am statements. Think of it like being in an interview and I'm going to interview you. I'm sitting across from you, and I say, tell me about yourself. And you say, I am magnificent or whatever. So as you're thinking about that, if you got a pen or pencil, you can start writing those down. If you don't, just make a mental note. But let me tell you the rules first. There's rules to this. You can't mention vocation because isn't that what we do? Someone asks us, who are you? And we tell them what we do. So no vocation. And that includes being a student or being retired. Can't mention that. You can't mention what you have. No material possessions. You can't mention interests or hobbies. I know some of you are avid golfers. Some are gardeners or into cars. Can't mention any of that. If you're a fan of the 49ers, you can't say, I'm a fan of the 49ers. That's not an identity. And just to make this fun, you can't mention age, ethnicity, nationality, race, gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, political party, family, family status, because I know some of you take, you know, great pride in being fathers or mothers or grandparents, but you can't do that here, not in this game. And you can't mention religion. You can't say, I am a Christian. That's a club name. Okay? So what you are describing is the essence of who you really are. The you that you are describing is the you that is deep inside, that you take wherever you go, no matter the circumstances, no matter the scenario. Think of it this way. If everything is taken from you and it's just you and God standing face to face, who are you? Who are you then? So as you're doing that, so start making your list up. As you're doing that, I'm going to share my list, because obviously I had more time to think about this. So, but I had two lists. Now, that doesn't mean I have a split personality. But what that does mean is the way I see myself isn't constant. Now, when I'm filled with fear, guilt, shame, when I'm anxious, when I've had doubts, and really it's the fear, these are the statements that I make about myself. This is how I feel about myself. I say, I'm alone. I'm not good enough. And when I say I'm not good enough, I mean I'm not talented enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not loving enough, I'm not a good enough father, I'm not a good enough husband, I'm not a good enough pastor or engineer. I'm just not good enough. And that leads into, well, I'm a failure, which leads into, I'm ashamed of myself. And so, again, this is me at my worst, filled with fear. Now, on the other hand, when my eyes are fixed on Jesus, when I'm abiding in Christ, when I'm feeling secure in God's grace and mercy, these are the identity statements that I make about myself. I am deeply loved and cared for. Deeply loved and cared for. And as God is comforting and encouraging me, I am a comforter and encourager to others. As God is nurturing me, I'm a nurturer to others. And because I'm no longer filled with fear, I can say of myself, well, I'm a man of valor, ready for battle. I'm ready to go in and do whatever God wants me to do, because that fear is no longer there. Now, that first list is what I'm going to call my false identity. And the second list is what I'm going to call my true identity. And we're going to unpack those terms. But the purpose of this exercise is to highlight the fact that we really don't think about our identity much. Another point is that our identity can change, and also that there is a journey from the false identity to the true identity. So what is identity? Identity is the perception of yourself based on images and experiences from your past. So the problem with that definition, though, is our perception isn't always true, and the truth isn't always our perception. But there's something I want you to keep in mind as we're moving forward. In John 14:6, Jesus said, he was the way, the truth, and the life. And so in my simple thinking, I'm thinking, okay, if I want my identity based on truth, I need to go to Jesus. So just keep that in mind as we're going forward. So why is this discussion of identity important? Why are we even talking about it? Well, for those who work in this area of identity work, doctors, psychologists, counselors, pastors, they tell us that your identity dictates your action. Your being, who you think you are, informs your doing. Being aware of your identity can help you understand your likes, your dislikes, your motivations, your relationships, your emotions. It can help you stay grounded when things around you feel chaotic or uncertain. And it helps you remember what truly matters at the end of the day. You see, God cares about your identity. God wants you to know the person he created you to be, and he wants you to be that person because your true identity is a gift to the world, and the world needs the real you. Now, at Abundant Life, we've been emphasizing identity for years now. It's one of the foundational markers of the church. If you walk down this pathway here, you'll see a sign that says identity. Now, the intent of that identity marker is to communicate that we have shared our common characteristics as followers of Christ. The verse that we read this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:17, says, I am a new creation. And these are identities for you. We all can say, I am a new creation. John 1:12, I am a child of God. John 15:15, I am a friend of Christ. Romans 5:1, I am justified before God. 1 Corinthians 12:27, I am a member of Christ's body. And so I can make a general identity statement that is true for all of us. I can say, and you can say this too, I'm a child of God, a co-worker of God, a light to the world, a masterpiece, a new creation, a temple of the Holy Spirit. I am blameless, I am blessed, I am chosen. I am a delight to God. Amen? Now, last one is Zephaniah 3:17, right? God delights over us. That identity statement is true for all of us, but it's also incomplete for all of us. Because every one of us, every single one of us, is unique, one of a kind, a limited edition. There is planning, purpose, and design in our very existence. Psalm 139:13 says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Listen, God worked out every detail, every single detail of who you are. He is in the works of everything about you. Furthermore, Ephesians 2:10 says, For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God created you complete and perfect to do specific work. I mean, think of it like if you needed to dig a hole in the backyard, you grab a shovel because the shovel is designed specifically to dig the hole. And it's the same with you. You know, as God created you uniquely, as he was in the very works of everything about you, he had in mind the very works that he wanted you to do. So do you think that with that in mind, he didn't give you the exact things you needed to carry out that work? Of course he did. He built that into us. Furthermore, 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Listen, you were uniquely created to fit perfectly in the body of Christ. So God was in the works. He knew what he had planned for you, and he made you so you'd fit together with everybody else. Because you are unique and you fit perfectly. And not only did God create us unique, but as Pastor Sean was mentioning, God has given us a new name. He's given us a new name. Isaiah 43:1 says, But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have summoned, called you by name because you are mine. And did you get the name change there? Did you get the name from Jacob to Israel? God changed his name. In John 10:3, it says, He, being Jesus, calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Isaiah 62:2, And you should be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord gives. In Revelation 2:17, I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone, with no one knows except the one who receives it. You see, God has naming rights. God has naming rights over you because he created you. Do you know what God calls you? Have you ever asked God, God, what is it that you call me? Who do you say I am? And that's a question that we should all ask. And we are going to ask that later. But what happened to that identity that God created within us? If it was God that who created it, who placed it in us, what happened to it? Well, nothing. Nothing happened to it. It's still there. The problem is that it got buried, or it got forgotten, or it's not discovered, but it's still within you. But what ends up happening is, because we don't know that identity, we create our own identity, our own false identity. So let's talk about the false identity. Again, kind of like that first list that I mentioned. Now, this is also known as the imposter identity, the shadow identity, the ego. It's also called radical individualism. And these are things we've come to believe about ourselves that are usually birthed from trauma that inform our being. You hear a negative comment about yourself, or you have a negative experience. And those comments, those experiences, they inform our being. They tell us something about ourselves. And we draw conclusions from those things. And we draw conclusions that we're a failure, or we're not worth loving, or we're not enough. And usually we take this in without even questioning it, without any filter. We just accept it. And these deep traumatic memories can result in wounds of separation. Where just to survive, we separated from our true selves, we separated from God, and we separated from others. You see, when we face trauma, what usually happens is we develop coping mechanisms to battle against that trauma. You know, for example, if you grew up in a dysfunctional household, say you had an alcoholic father and a controlling mother. I don't know who that would be. But just say you grew up in that. And just say, like, things were just chaotic in your household growing up. Usually what ends up happening is one of two things. You become a control freak because no one else was taking control of the situation, so you felt like you had to. Or you become a perfectionist. Or say, for example, you had a demanding or critical authority figure in your life, maybe a parent or a teacher. And just to avoid the conflict, you end up being a people pleaser. You just, even if it's stuff that you don't believe it's right, you just don't want the conflict, so you become a people pleaser. Or just to avoid the pain of the trauma, you just want to escape and you turn to alcohol or drugs or pornography, or things that might be more socially acceptable, you get obsessed in hobbies. You become obsessed with fitness, and you just work out all the time, or just to avoid the situation. But like in my situation, I turned to alcohol. And I'll tell you, alcohol did a great job in helping me to avoid my issues. Now, it didn't take care of the issues, but see what happens. So I try to cope, and I do it by drinking alcohol, and so my identity becomes, I am an alcoholic. So you see how these coping mechanisms can feed into a false identity. Does that make sense? Yeah, no, all right. Okay, the false identity, then, is an identity that I take on. You know, I get it from myself, I get it from someone else, or I get it from the enemy. But it does not come from God. So how do you recognize when you're living out of a false identity? There are some characteristics. So see if any of these sound familiar to you. So first, there's internal conflict. There's just no peace. There's no peace with yourself. There's no peace with others. There's no peace with God. You know, you just have this conflict. And that internal conflict will often, often, almost always, turn into external conflict. You know, you're fighting all the time with people. And that external conflict almost always comes from the conflict from within. You're me-focused. You're into self-promotion or self-protection. You're trying to make a name for yourself. You isolate and separate from people. You're filled with fear, guilt, shame. You're angry all the time. Another way to recognize if you're in your false identity is when you're trying to get approval from God or others from what you do. You're competitive. You make comparisons. You're easily offended. And the last thing I'll mention is when you believe that God is mad at you all the time, that God is not on your side, you know, that the universe is against you. If you're feeling any of that, you might be living out of your false identity. Now, there's a great example that exemplifies the tragedy of living in your false identity. And it was funny, as I was studying for this, the Lord brought this to mind. And this is a story I heard almost 30 years ago here at this church. And so I found it online, and so I want to read it to you. And it says it's for grade 3 readers, so just so you know. But it is the fable of the eagle and the chicken, and a lot of you have probably heard this, but let me read this to you. It says, once upon a time, on a large mountainside, there was an eagle nest with 4 large eagle eggs inside. One day, an earthquake rocked the mountain, causing one of the eagle eggs to roll down to a chicken farm located in the valley below. The chickens took care of the egg and sat on it to keep it warm. Eventually, the eagle egg hatched, and a beautiful eagle was born. Being chickens, the chickens raised the eagle to be like a chicken. The eagle thought he was a chicken, and so he acted just like a chicken. Chickens like to live on the land and do not usually soar high up in the sky like eagles do. The eagle learned to imitate the chickens. He scratched the ground looking for grubs and worms. He thought he was a chicken. The eagle loved his home and his family, but his spirit cried out for more. One day the eagle looked to the skies above and noticed a group of mighty eagles soaring in the sky. The eagle looked up and said, "What kind of animal is that? How graceful, powerful, and free it is." Then he asked another chicken, "What is that?" The chicken replied, "Oh, that is an eagle. But don't worry about yourself about that. You will never be able to fly like that." Let me just pause for a second. I always kind of wondered why they didn't recognize that that chicken looked like those eagles. So back to the story. "Oh," the eagle cried, "I wish I could soar like those birds." The chickens roared with laughter. "You cannot soar. You're a chicken, and chickens don't soar." The eagle continued staring at the eagles above, dreaming that he could be like them. Then the eagle went back to scratching the ground, looking for grubs and worms to fit in with the other chickens. He continued to behave like the chicken he thought he was. After time, the eagle stopped dreaming about becoming an eagle, and he continued to live his life as a chicken. Finally, after a long life living as a chicken, the eagle passed away. He never knew the grand life that could have been his. And the moral of this story is, you become what you believe. You become what you believe. You can live in your false identity as a chicken, or you can soar in your true identity. So what's the true identity? We've been talking about the false a lot here. The true self is the essence of who you really are. The essence of who you really are. Again, this is what God has built within you. It's the truest thing about you. It is the I you carry within, deeply grounded in love, secure in your status as valued and worthy. It is a gift from God to be discovered over your lifetime and worked out in community. The true identity is only received from God and nurtured in community. It does not come from what people think of you or what you have or what you do. And so just like there were characteristics for the false identity, there's characteristics for the true identity or the true self. The first one is that there's perfect peace. Now there is no internal conflict. You're at peace with yourself. You're at peace with others. You're at peace with God. You're outward focused. Your thoughts are on the well-being of others and not yourself. You forgive quickly. You have nothing to prove. You pursue honest relationships. You pursue relationships because you're not trying to get anything from others, but you're trying to pour into others. The true identity is self-emptying and has unconditional love for your enemy. And the true identity is consumed being what God made them to be. Now, do we find examples of going from the false identity to the true identity anywhere? Well, the answer is yes. And it's in the Bible. Everywhere in the Bible, we're going to see this. I put down just a handful of examples here, so bear with me. But these are examples of people going from their false identity to their true identity. We'll start with Moses. Moses has a false identity of fugitive, murderer, and even shepherd. That's a false identity for him. He has an encounter with God at the burning bush, and God gives him the identity of deliverer of Israel. So he goes from the false to the true. With Gideon, Judges chapter 6, love Gideon. Gideon's false identity is that I am weak, and I am the least of all my people. I mean, Gideon is hiding out in a cave, threshing wheat in a wine press, hiding from their enemies. And the angel of the Lord comes to him in that cave, and God gives Gideon the identity of mighty warrior. So he goes from the false identity of I am the least to a mighty warrior. Abram, the exalted father, the Lord appears to him when he's 99 years old, gives him a new identity of Abraham. There's even a name change there, Abram to Abraham. And the new identity is the father of many. The same with Jacob. Jacob has the identity of deceiver and coward. He encounters God in a wrestling match, and God gives him the new name of Israel. And then in the New Testament, we have Saul. Saul's identity is persecutor and murderer of the church. He has the Damascus Road experience with Jesus. And then he's given a new name and identity of Paul, apostle of the Gentiles. So again, from false to true, we see this over and over and over again. So some quotes about finding our true identity. I love this. There's an author, psychiatrist, his name is David Benner. He said this, great quote, "We do not find our true self by seeking it." Get that. We do not find our true self by seeking it. Rather, we find it by seeking God. And then there's another great quote by an awesome wife and mother, woman of God, Leanne Thompson. Leanne's watching from Idaho right now. But we were having this discussion about this, and of course, she always comes up with better stuff than I could. She said, finding our true identity is more about restoration than transformation. Who God made you never went anywhere. Those are good words. See, your true identity is within you, and it doesn't take long to discover it. So this morning, if you bear with me, I'm going to take us and take you, if you're willing to participate, on a journey from false identity to true identity. And we're going to do it as we take communion. So communion is going to take a little longer this morning. But if you don't have your communion kit, raise your hand and our ushers are ready to serve you. So I just want to preface this, that this is going to be a time with God. And we're going to ask God specific questions. And, you know, in the next few weeks, we're going to hear about receiving from God and hearing from God, listening to God. And I really wish this would come after that, but we're going to speak to God. And we're going to ask God to speak to us. And we're going to listen for his response. So to begin with, you know, if you want to close your eyes, and or you don't have to, but just follow along. First, we're going to ask the Lord to bind your mind to God's mind, your heart to God's heart, your spirit to God's spirit. And to unbind your mind, your heart, and your spirit from the lies of the evil one. Matthew 18:18 says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then I'm also going to pray that, Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that we would only hear your voice this morning. That you would silence any other voice. Even our voice, voices from our past, the voice of the enemy, God, we pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would silence all of those now, God, and that we would only hear your voice speaking to our spirit, our hearts, our minds. Now ask the Lord to search you deeply and know you and reveal to you any and every name or quality or characteristic you believe about yourself that is not from God. I'll repeat that. Ask the Lord to search you deeply and know you and reveal to you any and every name or quality or characteristic you believe about yourself that is not from God. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So what are the things you say about yourself that are not true and that offend God? What are those things that you are saying right now about yourself that are not true and that offend God? You know, for me, again, my list was, I'm not good enough. I'm a failure. I'm a regret. I'm unwanted. I'm untalented. I'm invisible. I'm a mistake. I'm ashamed of who I am. And again, these are things that offend God, because he's saying, I didn't create that. That's not who you are. You know, there's a name for this. It's called confession. And confession just means to tell the truth. And we're just telling Jesus the truth of what we believe about ourselves right now. What's the truth you believe about yourself? Just tell Jesus right now. What is the truth you believe about yourself? And as the Holy Spirit brings each belief to mind, ask God to sanctify your mind and your imagination. Now I'm going to ask you to do something a little different. Imagine Jesus standing before you. Imagine Jesus standing before you right now. And just let this image come to your mind in any way the Holy Spirit directs. There's no right or wrong way to visualize an interaction with Jesus. And once you visualize Jesus, hand Jesus the list you have written down. Hand him that list of names, of characteristics, and watch what Jesus does with your list. Now, if you would, take the bread. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that because you were broken for us, we can bring our brokenness to you. We can bring this broken identity, these broken names, this broken image, and we give it to you now. We lay it at the cross, Lord. Lord, you showed us the way to be broken and to let go. And so, Lord, now we let go of these names. We release them to you. We release our brokenness in Jesus' name. Let us take the bread. And now that you've given Jesus your list of false identities, false names, and observed what he did with them, ask Jesus what he says about you. Just right now, just ask Jesus, Jesus, what do you say about me? What do you call me? Just ask Jesus, Jesus, what do you call me? Who do you say I am? Just ask the Lord now. Just hear what he has to say. Make a note of the first images and thoughts that come to mind. Don't question them. Speaking to you now. Just hear what he has to say, and that God speaks to each of us in a unique way. It could be a word, it could be an image, it could be an impression, it could be a single word. Having an encounter with God and having him speak into you and change the way you perceive yourself to change the way you see who you are. That's called repentance. He's changing the way you think, changing the way you see yourself. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So now if you could take your cup, Lord Jesus, we've emptied ourselves of the false. And Lord, now we receive the truth of who we are. And Lord, we can do that because of what you did on the cross. Because your blood shed for us, Lord. Because now, God, you see us as the way you created us, unique. The sin is gone. The shame is gone. The guilt is gone. The fear is gone. Because of your blood shed for us, Lord. We are seen perfect and righteous and justified in your sight. You see us for who we really are. And Lord, we receive that unique name, that unique identity that you have just for us. And it's all because of what Jesus did on the cross. We thank you, Lord. Let us take the cup. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Some final thoughts on this whole journey from the false to a true identity. It takes faith to believe God's voice, because God's voice is going to say something about you that you would never have dreamed of. He's going to call you and name you something that you had no idea, and it's going to be greater than anything you thought you could ever be. You see, it's easy to believe the lies of the enemy, because the enemy's going to tell you you're worthless. You're dumb. No one likes you. And you're like, yeah, okay, yeah. But God's going to tell you, no, you're my mighty man of valor. You're my woman who's going to do great things. You're going to be the leader of all these people. And it's so easy to go, who, me? No. But that's the voice of God. His voice takes faith to believe. So if you heard something and you thought, nah, that can't be right, think again. Don't dismiss those thoughts. You see, the enemy is going to try to steal your true identity. If you remember, Jesus, you know, after he was baptized, we had that great proclamation from God, you know, this is my son whom I love. And then not too long after that, just 40 days, the enemy confronts him. And what does he try to do right away is try to steal that identity. If you are the son of God, if you are the son of God, immediately. And then you can even go back in the Old Testament with Daniel and his friends. What did the Babylonians try to do to them right away? Try to change their names. They try to steal their identity. And this is what the enemy is going to try to do to you. He's going to try to steal your identity. But stand firm. Stand firm in your true identity. See, receiving your true identity is not a one and done deal. You will spend your lifetime receiving more and more about your identity from God. You're going to just keep growing, and God's going to show you more and more and more. Be that gift to the world that God designed you to be. Because again, the world needs the real you. Amen. All right. Pastor Sean.
Amen. I just want to invite you, for those who maybe didn't get a chance really just to hear it, I want to invite the elders, if whoever's available, just to come along, maybe stage left or stage right. Because sometimes it takes a bit of time and asking of the Lord. We don't want to let this opportunity go by without those who are willing and just desiring to break through and allow God to speak to them. Their true identity, this is so critical. God wants to speak to you. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of practice and asking some questions. But we're going to open this time to our dwell time. And for those, maybe you've spent time, you've heard from the Lord, and that's great. And we, maybe this time isn't for you. But if that's the case, and if you're kind of done with this time, I would just ask that you take your conversation outside. We've had a few of these sessions where there's still lots of conversation going on. And I love that there's joy and it's fun to connect with others. But it is distracting for those who are just trying to hear from the Lord. So I just want to encourage you, if you would, allow yourselves to just step outside. And we've got the patio covered. It's a great place to kind of sit and chat. But let this place be a place of prayer and just seeking God and to hear His voice. And so I invite you, maybe there's an opportunity just to hear a little bit more about, just to press in. And this is a time for you to be very honest and very open with the Lord. Tell Him everything. Confess to Him. Let Him replace that fear, that worry, that shame, and that guilt. Ask Him, God, what do you want me to know about that? Let this time be a time of just that connection. So I'm going to continue to play. And for those of you who got to go, God bless you. We love you. But we just encourage you, please take your conversation outside. And for those who are just continuing to seek and hear from the Lord today, amen. You, if you are just kind of really struggling to hearing, that the elders have gone through this process many times and they would love to just encourage you through it. changed my name. You changed my name from too far gone to save by grace. Now I am forever changed. It's all because you changed my name. 'Cause you changed my name. You changed my name from too far gone to saved by grace. And now I am forever changed. It's all because you changed my name. Thank you, Lord God. We don't have to carry those burdens of worry, fear, guilt, shame. Those don't come from you. Pray, Father, we would seek after you, Lord God, and ask you, what do you call me? And begin to investigate why I might be thinking a thought that just invokes fear or worry. It's just an indication that we have a misunderstanding of who you are in that thought. And I pray, Lord, you would reveal to us. We thank you, Lord, that we were made in your image. We take on your characteristics because we are your child. Continue to speak to us, Lord, as we seek you today, tomorrow, this week, Lord. May you be glorified, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, as we go.